Wanted to highlight my buddy Tyler on the cajon for the first time. And Tyler is an awesome musician, and he just has a desire to use his gifts to honor Jesus. And Ray, someday he'll be coming for your lead guitar spot because he rips it up pretty good on the guitar. So, but I praise God when I see our young people wanting to use the gifts that God has given them to serve the church and to further the kingdom. So, so good job, Tyler. The word poser was a term that was used quite a bit when I was a young person. So when I was in junior high or high school, if there was someone you didn't like or somebody that maybe thought you were better than, you would call them a poser. But also this poser might be somebody who's trying to act like somebody they aren't. And so in my high school growing up, we had the band guys. They were the guys that wore the band t-shirts and maybe carried a guitar. The poser would be the guy who couldn't play the guitar, that carried his guitar around. We had skaters. That was a term, someone that skateboarded. And I remember there was guys that were poser skateboarders where they would take their skateboard and they would scratch it up with their hands because they couldn't do it with their feet. And they would wear it on their back. And they would walk around school, but they really couldn't skateboard at all. There was the poser car guys who had these sweet cars maybe, but it was because daddy had lots of money, not because they got their hands dirty working on their cars. My favorite was the poser athlete. That was the guy, there was a guy in my high school that him and I battled back and forth, but he was like 6'6", and he carried around his basketball shoes all the time, and I kept asking him, why aren't you gonna try for the basketball team? You're a big, tall boy. And come take my spot. Oh, man, I'm so much better than you. Finally, I convinced him to come out for the team, and I showed him what a basketball player really was. And because he wasn't very good, but he acted like he was. There maybe, as we look at our context as adults, maybe there's the posers, the people that act like they have lots of money, but they really don't. Maybe they represent themselves like they have lots of money. Each one of these posers are trying to be something that they really aren't. They're fakes and they're frauds. In our passage today, we're going to see where John warns the church of these fakes and these posers and these frauds that are coming into the church body. Let me pray for us before we jump into our passage and jump into 1 John real quick. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray now as we look at it and as we study it, Lord, that you would guide and direct our footsteps here. Lord, that we would be able to apply your words to our life, that we'd be different. Lord, help me to speak clearly in a way that would honor and glorify you and further your church. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been in 1 John. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there, and we're gonna start chapter 4 this week. But I thought it was good for us to jump into a reminder, and that's that John is writing to the church. He's writing to these Christian folks, and he's reminding them of what true fellowship is. He's reminding them that what true fellowship looks like with him, and reminding them what true fellowship looks like with each other. And he's giving them some warnings. Hey, when you sin, it disrupts your fellowship. Hey, when you treat your brother or sister in this way, it disrupts your fellowship. Hey, when you discount the work of Christ, it disrupts your fellowship with God and with each other. And today we're going to see where John gives some very clear direction against false teachers and false spirits and how they disrupt fellowship. I've asked Paul to come and read our passage. It's John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Thanks, Paul. Did you get it? As we jump in, looking at verse 1, we see where John's talking to these dear friends. I remember a couple weeks ago giving us this picture of this grandpa talking to his grandkids. He's an older, more elder man talking to this church, these people that he loves. And he says, my friends, my dear friends, those that I love, fellow believers. And then he jumps right into some direct instruction for the church. If you have some notes you're going to take, the first section we're going to look at is the spirits. And so verses 1 and 2, we're going to look at the spirits. And verses 1, he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit and see whether it is from God. Don't believe every spirit. This gets us into us knowing and understanding that we live and walk in a world that has spirits, that there is the Holy Spirit and there are evil spirits. And John's saying, look, don't believe everything that you see, or don't believe everything that you hear, but test those things and see if they're from God. Have you ever heard of somebody that believed that the earth was flat? There are people now that believe the earth is flat. Like some really popular like rappers and stuff like that actually believe the earth is flat. And that was a really popular thought in science for a long time, that the earth was flat. If I stand here, I look out, it keeps going. It must be flat. When I get on a ship, I look out, it keeps going. It must be flat. It doesn't have an end. It's a flat earth. Or maybe it does have an end and I'm going to fall off the end. But it was a really popular thought that the earth was flat. Now, as we understand science more, we're like sending rockets up to Mars and stuff like that, we can see and we can know for sure that the earth is not flat, that the earth is round, and hopefully I'm not offending anybody right now, but there's good science to show us that that was false, that that was wrong. And so John here tells them, look, just because something looks right or sounds right, don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything that maybe even looks true, but test it. In Exodus chapter 7, we see Moses and Aaron going before Pharaoh. And they go before Pharaoh, so the children of Israel are in captivity. Moses has been called by God. He's rejected God and said, no, I can't do it. God says, I'll bring Aaron to be your mouthpiece. And so now they're standing before Pharaoh, because Moses and Aaron are now being obedient. And they're going to Pharaoh saying, let my people go. Like, we need to leave this place. And we see where Aaron and Moses perform miracles in front of the Pharaoh. They throw their staff down and it turns into a snake. And the Pharaoh calls in his religious leaders, the sorcerers, the people that they would look to for religious guidance. He calls them in and they duplicate the same trick or the same manifestation, and they now turn their staffs into snakes. And so we see where there's a miraculous sign from God. We see where it's duplicated by Pharaoh. What's awesome about the story, if you read it in chapter 7, we see where when Aaron, or when the sorcerers throw their staffs down, Aaron's staff actually eats the other staffs. And it gives us this great picture of the power of God. And this great picture of God actually swallowing up sin and death. But we see where the Pharaoh is able to do things that are miraculous. And we see where very easily someone could say that what the Pharaoh had done could have been from God. It could have been from the gods. And the Egyptians believed that it was. Here in verse 1, do not believe every spirit, but test and see whether it's from God. John then tells them that many false prophets have gone out into the world. As we look at this passage, I think we would be missing something if we didn't know and understand that there is a real battle raging, that there is really evil spirits, and that there are really a spiritual battle going on in this world today. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for our struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in this heavenly realm. So we see where in Ephesians we're taught that there is this spiritual battle. There is fallen angels and Satan that roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And his job, his number one goal is to distort the words of God, to separate God's people from his words. We see that all the way back in Genesis 3 when Satan in the garden looks at Eve and he says, did God really say that? This battle is real. This battle is something that is really happening. And there's Satan wants nothing more but to separate us from God's words or distort what God's word says. We know that he is the deceiver and the father of lies. And he masquerades as an angel of light. He looks good. He looks good. He looks like something that maybe we should follow. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, we see that Satan is called an angel of light. In verse 14, it says, no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. This battle that is going on and is happening in this world is real. And Satan wants nothing more but to separate us from God's word and from the words of God and from the love of God. We see in verses 2 and 3, we see the test. So in verse 1, we see where John warns the church to test the spirits and see whether they're from God. And he doesn't say that just for fun, looking back at verse 1, but he says that because there are false prophets. There are people that look true and right, or maybe even say some of the right and true things, but they really aren't. They really aren't from God. And John's warning them against these people. And so he gives them a test. He gives them a test to say, this is how you will know if these people are truly from God. In verses 2 and 3, we see this test. It says, this is how you'll recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is not from God. It is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. I think it's important for us to note as we look at verses 2 and 3 that John is speaking against Gnosticism. And this is the thought that the flesh is evil and the spirit is good. And so these Gnostics, if somebody could perform something that looked spiritual or that looked like it had a spirit behind it, they would want to follow it. So if there was a manifestation of the Spirit, they would want to follow it, whether it was true or not, because they believed that the Spirit was good. And so John's like, don't believe every evil spirit. But I think that's an important note. And then he gives them this test. He says, this is how you'll recognize if a spirit's from God. And it's a really simple, easy test. What do they believe about Jesus? What does this teaching believe about the work or the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus? This is how we are to test those spirits. This is how John instructed the church to test those spirits. What do they believe about Jesus? It's interesting that as we look at different cults or different false beliefs and systems that are in this world, they all have something different to say about who Jesus is. The Mormons believe that Jesus is Lucifer's spirit brother. Islam teaches that Jesus is a teacher, a prophet, and a miracle worker. Buddhism, he's a wise teacher and a holy man. Christian Science, which is not Christianity and it's not science, just as a side note, believe that Jesus is a wise man, just one of many wise men. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the first creation of God, and they do not believe that he is a member of the Trinity. What do they do with Jesus? That is the test. That is what we need to know and understand as we look at someone's teaching. Do they believe in the life, death, and resurrection? We talked about how there's this spiritual battle and how Satan really is at war to separate us from God's words. And we know that Satan is the great copycatter and counterfeiter. So we see that God has filled us with the Spirit. And we see where Satan fills those with demon possession. We see where God is the truth and Satan is the father of lies. We see where God has prophets, especially in the Old Testament, and we see where there are false prophets that arise. We see where God works miracles, and we see where Satan performs signs and wonders to deceive. And we see where God has the church, has his body. And we see where Satan has religions and cults. He's the great counterfeiter. He makes it look almost right, but it's not quite right. When I was a freshman in college, I was walking through a field one day, and I looked down, and I found a ring on the ground. It was in the middle of nowhere. See this big, it was a big gold ring. And I was like, wow, this is pretty awesome. Picked the ring up and I'm like, what house do I go to see if the ring? So as a freshman in college, I was like, well, I got myself a new ring. I took it back to my dorm room and I cleaned it up and I'm like, this is a gold ring. This is sweet. Like that's the college kid's dream. I just found $10,000 in a field just for me. And so I cleaned this ring up and I did some research. I wanted to see, hey, is it real? And it had it was stamped 24 karat gold on the inside and it looked shiny and it was soft. And I'm like, this is a sweet ring. And so I wasn't married at the time, but it only fit on my pinky. So I put it on my pinky and I wore it around for a little bit. And very quickly, my finger started to turn green. And my ring looked really great on the outside. It was really shiny. It cleaned up really well, but it was counterfeit. It wasn't real. It wasn't true gold. And Satan is the counterfeiter. Satan gives us something that looks good or looks right or looks like it could be real, but there's a problem with it. So we're called to test them, to test these spirits. What do they do with Jesus? What does this teacher do with Jesus? What does this religion do with Jesus? And it's awesome. In Acts chapter 17, we see where the Bereans are highlighted for their study. Probably, if you've been in church for any period of time, you've sat in a Sunday school class or you've seen a sign for a Sunday school class that said Bereans. The church that I grew up in always had this Sunday school class, and it was always older people in this. The Berean class was the older people, and they wanted the world to know, or they wanted the church to know, that this Sunday school class was the one that was going to study. And we see in Acts chapter 17 where the Bereans, they received the message, and it says that the Berean Jews were more noble in character than those of Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So they studied God's word. We talked about how Satan wants nothing more but to separate us from the words of Christ. And we see where this church, they studied God's word together. And I think for us, as we look and as we test, is this person or is this message from God or these spirits from God? And we look to see what they do with Jesus. It's so important for us to study and know the scriptures, to act like the Bereans, and to know and to truly understand what scripture says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's so important, church, as we look at God's word and as we look at the world around us and as we look to who we're going to follow and who we're going to listen to test those spirits. What do they do with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Do they believe in it? Do they follow it? John goes on in verses 3. It says, But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and now has already come into the world. So he reminds the church that if this spirit or if this teacher or if this movement doesn't acknowledge Jesus Christ, doesn't acknowledge that Jesus Christ is from God, says it's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, this isn't talking about the person of the Antichrist that we see, and especially in the book of Revelation, come onto the scene. But this is a person or a group that is against Christ, that is anti the work and person of Jesus Christ. So if they don't acknowledge Christ, they're against Christ. It's a great reminder for us. We're either for him or we're against him. The world is either for God or it's against him. And so it's a great reminder for us. Is our life for him or against him? And so it's the work of the Antichrist. And he said that you've heard is coming and is already in the world. So this work and this group that was against Christ is already here. We see that very, very actively in our culture today. That there is people that are opposed to the message and the work of Christ. They very clearly want nothing to do with the work of God. Verse 4, we see where John now gives the church some encouragement. So he gives them the test. He tells them about the spirits. He gives them the test. He tells them the battle is real. And now he encourages them. He says, dear brothers and sisters, you dear brothers and children are from God, and you have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So John now gives some encouragement. He's like, don't follow these false teachers. Don't follow these false spirits. But you, my dear children, my loved ones, the ones I care for so much, are from God. You have overcome them, because the one that lives inside of you is greater than the one that is in the world. You're from God. John reminds them. He reminds them of the faith that they have placed in Jesus Christ and the work on the cross. And he says, and have overcome them. Now, he's not saying you, by your great righteous deeds and work, have overcome them. He's saying, no, by the work of Christ on the cross, you have overcome the world. Because greater is the one in you. We know that at the moment of our salvation and we place our trust in Christ, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit living inside of us is greater than the one who roams in the world. And we should take encouragement in that. We should know and understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Jesus and to be a guide and director for our lives, so that our lives would glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Church, we should be encouraged by that. That we should take heart in that. As a side note, if someone tells you you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, tell them you already are. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are completely full of the Spirit of God. Now, the question is, do you walk in a way that shows that? Verse 5 in this encouragement says, they're from the world, and they're from the world, and therefore speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. So John encourages them, and then he reminds them again. Look, the world, these teachers are from the world. So they speak from a viewpoint of the world. They speak the world's language. So if they're from the world, they're controlled by Satan, and they speak the language of Satan, which is lies. They might sometimes look good, but they speak his tongue. We need to make sure that we are, as we listen and as we evaluate teachers and who we're going to listen to, are they speaking the words of the world? Are they speaking which are the world's words of Satan? Or are they speaking the words of God? In our world, there's a push. Do we listen to worldly philosophy, or do we listen to God's word? Do we listen to psychology and self-help, or do we listen to what God's word is saying? Do we listen to our feelings? Some people say that you should just go with how you feel. Go with what makes you feel good. But we need to be careful, because our feelings can be misleading. Our feelings, there's times where we might feel something that isn't truly from God. Do we listen to the worldly philosophies? Do we listen to our feelings? Do we maybe just judge the book by what's happening on the outside? These are some worldly tests that sometimes we fall into. Whether we would say, man, that guy, he's got a psychology degree, he's written 5 self-help books, and he must be great. Or, wow, when I listen to that church, I feel good. Or maybe we just look at it from the outside and say, wow, that teacher has a big building, nice hair, and a perfect-looking family. And so we're going to listen to him. We need to be really careful. It says that in verse 5, they don't speak the words of Christ, and they don't believe the same things about Jesus, if they haven't been put to the test, they're from the world, and they don't speak the language of God. They speak the language of the devil, and we need to be really careful. We need to be really careful with who and what we listen to. Then in verse 6, it says, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So here in verse 6, we see where John, he reminds them of his apostolic authority. That's a big word. But he reminds them that I have been given the words of God. I am an apostle, and I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And he says, look, if people listen to God's message through us, then they're from God. And he reminds them of his authority. Whoever knows God listens to us. But if they don't listen to us, if they don't listen to the words of the apostles, then they're not really from God. Then they're not really from us. It's a good reminder for us. Who do we listen to? Do we listen to those that speak the words of God? Or do we listen to those that don't believe and trust in God's word? In Acts chapter 4, we see where Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Do we listen? Do we listen to the words of Jesus? And it says here that in this world, that this stone that the builders rejected, we know that Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, was rejected, died on the cross for our sins, took the sin and punishment upon himself, buried, died, and rose again, was rejected by a group of people. And we see where he's still rejected today, but he's become the cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's the foundation upon which we build, or the church is built. He's the foundation upon where we build our lives. And if the foundation is messed up, then our whole building's messed up. And so it says here that he's become the cornerstone. And what a better cornerstone could we ever have but the person of Jesus and the work that he's done. Salvation's found in no one else, for there's no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. But this stone becomes a stumbling block for some, becomes something that becomes rejected by many. And Satan wants nothing more but to twist and to water down the message of the gospel and turn it into lies so people will continue to stumble on them. But we can praise God that there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. The world we live in, the world that is here, there's a real battle raging for your soul. There's a real battle going on, and there are real spirits out in this world. And I challenge us as a church, who do we listen to? Who do we listen to? Do we put our teachers and the people that we listen to the test? Do we put the philosophies and the ideas that we listen to the test? And do we see what they do with Jesus? Is it all built upon him? Or is it built upon something else? Is it built upon something that's going to fall? It's so important that we trust and that we understand that the foundation that we can build on is only Jesus Christ, because everything else will fall. At the end of verse 6, we see here, this is how you will recognize the truth and the spirit of falsehood. This is how, church, we can walk. This is how we can walk in a manner that is glorifying to God by testing the spirits, by testing to see, are the people we listen to, what they do with Jesus? Are we going to follow those that walk in a manner that is glorifying to God and that is furthering the kingdom and that understands the work and the power of Jesus Christ, or are we going to trust in the spirit of falsehood? In conclusion, it's all about Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, Jesus answered, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done. It's all about the work that he accomplished in our place. Do we trust it? Do we trust him? Do we walk in a manner, in a way that trusts him? In this world, there are posers. There's people that look true and right, that look like maybe they have it all together, or that look like they maybe even speak the truth. But what do they do with Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit, that we, through evaluating Scripture, might know the truth. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us this test to be able to know and understand if the spirits and the teachers that we listen to are from you or from the devil. And we thank you that we can judge it on the work of Christ. Father, I pray as we leave here, Lord, that our lives would look more like your Son. Lord, that we would only listen to the truth and not be deceived. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.